ma'am, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's call. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Karen Hunter. Thank you. You may begin.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for joining us for today's Vital Signs report on sodium intake among school-aged children. We'll be hearing from Dr. Ileana Arias. She is the CDC Deputy Principal Director, and her name is spelled I-L-E-A-N-A, last name A-R-I-A-S. We'll also be hearing from Kevin Kontanen, who's the USDA Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services, and his name is spelled K-E-V-I-N. Last name is C-O-N-C-A-N-N-O-N. And we'll also be joined by two of the authors of the Vital Signs, Molly Cogswell and Janelle Gunn, who are with CDC's Division for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention. Molly's name is spelled M-O-L-L-Y, C-O-G-S-W-E-L-L. Janelle's name is spelled J-A-N-E-L-L-E. Last name is G-U-N-N, and they will be available to answer questions after we hear opening remarks. So now I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Ileana Arias.
Good afternoon, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today to discuss the Vital Signs Report, which is a special publication that highlights critical public health issues facing our nation. In our latest report, we look at how much sodium children are eating and what are the most common foods that contribute to their sodium intake. It's an important topic because one in six children already has raised blood pressure, which can result in high blood pressure in adulthood, as we know, a major cause of heart disease and stroke, and this is incredibly concerning to us. Using the most recent national data, our report reveals that more than 90% of school-aged children nationwide eat too much sodium. The 2010 Dietary Guidelines for Americans recommend that children eat less than 2,300 milligrams per day total. However, we find that children 6 to 18 years of age eat an average of about 3,300 milligrams per day, meaning that many of our kids are on a fast track to an unhealthy diet. The statistics are even more dramatic when we focus on just teens who are consuming about 3,700 milligrams of sodium per day. When we mention these data, we anticipate that parents are going to now very quickly move to limit the salt shakers on the table and the food that and the salt that is put into food as they prepare their meals. However, it's important to recognize that our report reveals that children and teens are eating too much sodium before salt is added at the table or in the kitchen. And that is because most sodium is already in food before it is bought or ordered. And that holds true whether that food is from restaurants, school cafeterias, or the ready-to-eat and packaged food that comes from the grocery store. Approximately 65% of sodium that our children are consuming comes from store foods, 13% from fast food and pizza restaurant foods, 9% from school cafeteria foods. The report shows that 10 types of food alone make up 43% of youth sodium intake nationwide. Pizza, bread and rolls, lunch meats like deli ham or turkey, snack foods like chips, cheeseburgers and sandwiches, cheese, chicken patties and tenders, pasta dishes, Mexican mixed dishes, and soups comprise that top 10 list. Some of these foods may not taste salty, but they are top contributors because they do have significant sodium content, and children eat a lot of them. A poor diet in childhood can help lay the foundation for future health problems. And the fact that young kids and teens are consuming so much sodium these days and adopting increasingly bad dietary habits is certainly a cause for concern. Additionally, we know that research shows that the taste for salt is established through diet at a young age. So not only are our children eating too much sodium, they're establishing a high threshold or taste for salt beyond childhood. So what can we do to help reduce the amount of sodium that children are consuming every day? It'll take a collective effort. Parents and caregivers, schools, communities, and places that sell, make, or serve food to really make a difference and ensure healthier options. For example, parents can model and create habits for healthy eating by choosing a diet rich in fruits and vegetables without added sodium. We encourage parents to check nutrition fact labels on products and choose the lowest sodium option. We encourage them to request restaurant nutrition information to make healthier choices. And also using low sodium or no salt added ingredients in meals and replace salt at home with different spices, herbs, and even citrus for flavor. By paying attention to nutrition labels, you can easily reduce the amount of sodium you're eating every day. For example, eating lower sodium bread and spicing up scrambled eggs with herbs instead of salt in the morning can save you 85 milligrams of sodium. And leaving deli cheese off your sandwich, choosing low-sodium chips, and drinking water instead of a sports drink can slash approximately 490 milligrams of sodium. It's clear that parents can do something about how much sodium children are eating, but they need help. They need food manufacturers and restaurants to support efforts to gradually lower sodium over time. Fortunately, some food companies have already taken that step. For example, Darden Restaurants, owners of restaurants such as Bahama Breeze and Olive Garden, have committed to reducing sodium in certain menu items by 20% over 10 years. Taco Bell has committed to reduce sodium by 20% in its U.S. products. And food giant ConAgra recently announced that they have already reduced sodium across their portfolio by 20%. CDC is also doing its part. We work to reduce sodium intake by promoting local, state, and national proven actions, as well as enhancing the monitoring of sodium intake and changes in the food supply. Included in these efforts is the development and promotion of Million Heart, a national initiative focused on preventing 1 million heart attacks and strokes by 2017. We're also working with schools and school districts as they think about their purchasing policies and standards. They can reduce sodium in the foods they prepare in their cafeterias and put healthier alternatives in vending machines and school stores. On that note, I'd like to turn it over to Kevin Concannon, Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services in the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Kevin?
Thank you very much, Dr. Arias. I'm very pleased to be here on behalf of the USDA to comment on this report. This report underscores the importance of USDA's school meal sodium standards, increasing the availability of lower sodium food products in schools and other parts of the food marketplace, together building healthier eating habits among our children. Although hypertension, heart disease, and stroke are more common among adults, the origins often begin in childhood. And children with higher blood pressure are much more likely to develop hypertension as adults. CDC's analysis suggests that children who ate school meals consumed less sodium. And a study released just yesterday by the Pew Charitable Trust found that the majority of parents across the country of all political stripes support limiting salt in school meals. At the USDA, we're working to make the school environment an important contributor to the effort to reduce children's sodium consumption. New national nutrition standards are projected to reduce the sodium content of school meals by approximately 25 to 50%. And based on this analysis, sodium intake among U.S. school-aged children could be reduced across a year by an average of about 75 to 150 milligrams per day, or about 220 to 440 milligrams on the days that children consume school meals, if there's no replacement from other sources. Well, you know, we provide foods to school that the USDA directly purchases, and they're referred to as USDA foods. They're provided to schools as part of their school meals, and we have been reducing sodium as a major emphasis in USDA Foods reformulation efforts. We now offer a variety of no-salt added, lower-sodium options to help schools prepare healthier meals. Two-thirds of the products offered through the USDA Foods now to schools have no salt added in the formulations. The remainder of USDA Foods are 10% low-sodium, 11% that require lower-sodium formulations, and the remaining 12% that use standard industry specifications. Schools using bulk USDA foods for processing should define sodium specifications to ensure that they receive products with sodium levels that meet their needs. Industry is also responding to the demand created by new nutrition standards with lower sodium versions of many popular foods. Firms are investigating solutions to lowering the sodium content of foods while maintaining the nutrition standards of taste and flavor profiles. Currently, these applied approaches are resulting in sodium reductions of between 20 and 30% in the foods such as breads, sauces, soups, and canned vegetables. In addition, industry is now providing materials and resources on reducing sodium in school meals by modifying the recipes that use high sodium ingredients. School meals have the potential of making an impact on sodium intake among children, but much more work remains in lowering the overall sodium content of the food supply, including foods children eat outside of school. Dietary guidelines for all Americans recommend that we reduce our daily sodium intake to less than 2,300 milligrams per day, and for those populations that are at higher risk of sodium-related illnesses or conditions, it's recommended to reduce to 1,500 milligrams. Those same guidelines provide a number of strategies for consumers to use in reducing sodium intake, including using the nutrition facts label or when purchasing canned foods to select those labeled as reduced sodium. Additionally, the guidelines encourage increased potassium intake, which can blunt the adverse effects of sodium on blood pressure. I also might mention that this is the first year across America, and I was in a school up in Vermont yesterday where for the first time all of the foods sold in the school environment, and these are in nearly 100,000 American schools, are now subject to limitations on sodium amounts in snacks, a la carte meals, whatever foods are sold in the school. And we believe that that's going to make a systematic and environmental change that helps all 50 million American school children. Back to you, Dr. Arias.
Thank you. The bottom line is that the pressure is on to keep blood pressure down. The latest vital sign shows that children and teens nationwide are eating too much sodium, and that intake unfortunately increases as they get older. Heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular diseases kill more than 800,000 Americans each year and contribute an estimated $315 billion a year in healthcare costs and lost productivity. More than 40% of the sodium comes from just 10 types of food among kids. We believe that eating fresh foods and gradual, voluntary reductions in sodium of packaged and ready-to-eat foods would save billions of dollars and tens of thousands of lives. It's going to take all of us working together to reduce sodium and provide a healthier future for our children. The pressure's on to prioritize the reduction of sodium in our children's diets to make the next generation a healthier one. We know that eating habits begin in childhood, so the time to act is now. So thank you for your time today, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Arias. Lisa, I think we're ready to start taking questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will be announced prior to asking your question. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, that's star 1 for questions. At this time, I'm showing there are no questions.
Okay, well, that's going to wrap up the telebriefing. There will be a transcript available later on this afternoon on CDC's press room site. If you have follow-up questions or need additional information, please contact CDC's press office at media@cdc.gov or 404-639-3286.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Two questions have come up. Would you like to take those?
Very good. Yes, we would.
Okay, sure. One moment, please. And our first question comes from Allison Aubrey with NPR. Thank you. Your line is open.
Oh, hi. I was just looking on your site for the list of, you mentioned that about 40% of the salt that kids consume come from 10 foods. And I know at the beginning is right when I called in and you were naming a sort of a list of foods. I'm looking for that on the in the report. Maybe I just haven't found it yet. But do you mind just ticking those off?
Sure. This is Liliana Arias. We have it in the report, and it's also in the fact sheet that's being posted on our website. But
okay.
I'll go ahead and go through those. Pizza, bread and rolls, lunch meats, snack foods, cheeseburgers and sandwiches, cheese, chicken patties and tenders, pasta dishes, Mexican mixed dishes, and soups.
Got it. And I know that that sodium restrictions are now in place in schools as part of the new dietary guidelines or new nutrition guidelines for schools, but I know pizza is a big issue at school. Do you know of any kind, and there's two huge companies that supply a lot of the pizza to schools around the country. Do you know if pizza makers have moved to reduce sodium for the kinds of pizza sold in school cafeterias?
Yes, they have. We have seen the major food supplier companies that provide meals to schools have been reformulating to meet the dietary guidelines. That is really why I am so positive and excited about the school meal standards, because they do represent a systematic way of educating and supporting kids to healthier eating. And I was in a school yesterday in Vermont where they weren't serving pizza, but they were serving pastas that were made with whole grains. And I watched the kids consume them and enjoy them and talked to the folks who prepare the foods and said, no problem. They have been working on this gradually, adjusting, in effect, or educating the palates of kids. So I know kids, when introduced to healthy foods, can get used to them, enjoy them, and it can make a difference over the life course.
Great. Thank you.
Next question, please, Lisa.
Our next question comes from Mike Stolbe with the Associated Press.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Is there a simple way to convert milligrams so people can have a better conceptualization of like 2,300 milligrams of sodium? I know you say sodium and not salt, but is that what, two tablespoons, and 3,300 milligrams is can you help us so we can visualize what the quantity is for 2,330?
This is Janelle Gunn from CDC. And so 2,300 milligrams is about a teaspoon of salt, but you raise a challenge that we face in trying to help Americans lower sodium, in that it automatically makes people think of the salt shaker rather than the sodium that's already in their food. So sometimes you might think of it as the difference of choosing one can of soup versus another can of soup, or making different sandwich choices, you could easily save 600 milligrams of sodium in a sandwich.
Okay, and 2,300 roughly is a teaspoon of salt. And what's 3,300? Is that 1.5 or?
Yes, about 1.5.
Okay, thank you.
Just as a reminder, if you have a question, please press *1 at this time. And our next question comes from Mandy Oaklander with Time Magazine.
Hi. I know that concerns about sodium and salt, there's some evidence that it's a little bit overblown. What's your response to that? There's been a lot of back and forth.
Hi, this is Janelle Gunn from CDC. CDC, as other government agencies as well, we continue to evaluate the evidence, and importantly, we consider the totality of the evidence. And a vast majority of scientific research confirms that as sodium is reduced, and so is blood pressure. Lowering blood pressure prevents heart disease and strokes, which are leading causes of death in the U.S. Hypertension is alarming in the U.S. About 1 in 3 adults has high blood pressure. Only half of those have it under control. And even among the youth population, we find that 1 in 6 already has raised blood pressure. So these are levels higher than we want to see for their age and gender.
Next question, please, Lisa.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tom Corwin with the Augusta Chronicle.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. We're looking at a study that was published in Pediatrics earlier this year that looked at adolescents and also a very high consumption of sodium. And they found that independent of calories, that there was an association with higher weight, with greater obesity and also inflammation factors like tumor necrosis factor alpha. I know you're talking about blood pressure, but are there correlate health measures that we should be concerned about with high sodium?
That's a good question. CDC also had a report in 2012 that looked at sodium intake and obesity, and we found a synergistic effect, and we see it in some studies in adults as well. I think, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind is, you know, blood pressure is the largest impact, but I think people often don't consider all of the ways that blood pressure impacts our health more than just heart disease and stroke.
And I'm sorry, who was speaking?
Sorry, this is Janelle Gunn for CDC.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please, Lisa.
At this time, there are no further questions.
We have just a few more seconds for somebody to jump in if they want before I wrap it up.
And at this time, I'm still showing no questions.
Hearing no more questions, I think we'll wrap up the telebriefing.
So thank you all for joining us today. We are all struggling with, as was mentioned, how it is that, you know, we can message this for the most possible and the best impact that we can have. Hypertension, as you know, is a complex issue. There are a number of variables that have been shown to influence anybody's either current or future levels of hypertension. However, we are talking about a variable that is easily controlled, that is directly impactful on hypertension among kids, certainly, and that sets up a trajectory for negative outcomes in adulthood as well. So we are hopeful that parents take advantage of the control that they do have and exert that control over the health of their children, not just for when they are children, but also for when they grow into adulthood as well. So thank you very much, and we'll sign off now.
And that was Dr. Arias. And again, there will be a transcript of this telebriefing available later on this afternoon on CDC's press room site. Again, if you have additional questions or need additional information, please contact the CDC press office at media@cdc.gov or 404-639-3286. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.